Oh god. So I opened Anytrans just because you mentioned it, right? And they have the little news section on their main page, right?
Yeah.
New show coming in July called Days with My Stepsister.
A pretty base show, I'm sure.
There's an unfortunate connotation of stepsister in modern society.
Unfortunate or very fortunate?
Or very fortunate. Whoa, Kevin.
It depends on how you look at it. Then let's go ahead and start the first real podcast episode of the year for the year 2024. Because the last one, that was just a warm-up, all right? This is the official number one episode of the 2024 season of the AAP. Director of Anagrams. What do you got this week?
Oh, right. I was not ready for this.
Yeah, me too. Every week.
The Angsty Arsonist Patrol.
God, you're so much better at it than I am.
Anarchy's a natural.
He's a natural for sure. For sure. See, I could never be in 8 Mile. Boys.
But no, that's not the name of this show.
That's right. It is the Any Anime Podcast. Thank you, Director of Anagrams. So this week we have the end of an era. The fall 2023 season is officially done. It's officially over. And we get to give our 2 cents on all the shows we watched. So let's go ahead. Let's not waste any time. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. Now, my understanding is that I don't believe Kate has watched every show. Is that correct, Kate?
Correct. Yeah, correct.
All right, what shows you got, Kate?
I don't know. I'll add in what I got.
Huh? No, I know.
When we get to a show, I'll throw in my 2 cents.
He is absolutely still playing Pal World.
Oh, I see. Okay. Fair enough. In that case, I'll just try to go in an off and on order of what I think people have watched. So in that case, let's go ahead. Let's get the first show out of the way. Let's get
Wait, Kevin, are you gonna throw up the tier list or
not? Nah? Not this week.
No,
I've been too busy watching football all weekend. I didn't download the thumbnails and blah blah and this and that.
Bro, I will make a tier maker on the fucking spot.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Make a template name, anime fall 2023.
All right. Let me save
you. Single use template.
I got you. This is on the fly, IT work right here.
On the fly.
On the fly. In the fly. We're fly as fuck. Where did these go? I know I just had it. Oh, I lost it. Wait. Save as pictures. There it goes. All right. Here you go, Tanner. Here's the list of all the shows.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. We can we can get started without the tier list for now.
Oh, for sure, for sure, for sure. Let's start with 100 Girlfriends. Show of hands, who's finished the show?
No.
Not Angel, you have it?
I have not.
Really?
Almost.
Almost.
I missed the last episode.
Mm-hmm. 100 Girlfriends is the wild card of the season, I think it is fair to say.
What? Would you consider it a wild card? I would consider it the degenerate card, all right?
Oh, okay, there you go, there you go. It's the degenerate card. Yeah, it's... So... I don't know if this will ease Tanner's mind at all, but 100 Girlfriends doesn't ever hit the brakes in terms of its degeneracy. It is a upward trajectory all the way. It's it's hard to talk about 100 Girlfriends without getting too nitty gritty into like the things that happen. I'm trying to think. It's an enjoyable show. It's a very fun comedy to be a part of. I hesitate to call it like good. You know,
I would hesitate to call it as such as well.
Well, yeah, you were hating since episode one, so...
You're not wrong.
So just a couple of key things that I think the show does well. I think it has a good sense of comedic timing. I think it does a pretty good job of not letting the jokes get too stale. And the girls are generally pretty well designed and or like characterized. They're all very lovable, if you will. And I think the discussion around like, oh, which one's your favorite? Oh, do you like the scientist who is also like a very small child, but she's also an adult? Yeah, that's a weird one. Do you like the MILF? Do you... I think Tanner, I think I told you, I'm like, I am waiting for like a I already forgot her name from Persona 5, the teacher. Miss
Kawakami?
Kawakami, yeah. I was waiting for a Miss Kawakami moment where he just gets involved with an adult. And it comes. And it comes hard.
More ways than one.
And so yeah that's about as far as I got. I think it's not my favorite of the season by any stretch, but it definitely had me laughing consistently. Cade, you got any thoughts?
It was really good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Angel, did you watch it?
Angel, I only said watched the first three episodes.
Oh, same.
Because it was hard to continue. If it's not an acquired taste, I think it's the best way to say it.
Yeah.
I think if I were to rate the show, I think it's a solid B. I think, and it's gonna be a B for people who don't mind the degeneracy. It's probably a D or an F for people who aren't really into this. But I'm trying to think. My A-tier, favorite
genre defining for the tier of the tier though is degenerate tier, or sorry, genre. It's the degenerate genre. If you're into the degenerate genre, this is an A tier. You need to watch it.
Yeah.
If you like stuff like Nagatoro, is that what it's called?
Nagatoro,
yeah, that's what I was trying to say. If you like stuff like that, you would like this.
I think this is better than Nagatoro, personally.
Just this in is terms better of than the Nagatoro.
Entertainment, yeah. The entertainment factor, I think, is higher on this one. I do want to talk about the blonde-haired girl, the tsundere. Slowly but surely, she became one of my favorites in the show. Just for the simple fact that she is like the one closest to kind of breaking out of the cult, if you will. She has like the least amount of brainwashing compared to the other girls, but she still can't like completely leave. So you have these situations where Rentaro's like, and this is a scientist senpai, and she's like, you fucking bitch, another one? Really, another one? So, well, all right, well, if everyone else is okay with it, I guess I'm fine. But from episode one, I think Akari was always my favorite. And she only got better. I think Akari's still best girl. What about you, Kade? You gotta finish. Oh, the one with the mole on her thigh.
Oh, that one. Okay. Yeah. I already know which one.
Kade, you got a best girl in 100 Girlfriends?
The mom, but I'm a sucker for small floofs as well.
Interesting. What? I don't know what that means.
The nickname for the girl who talks with her phone is Small Floof.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, she's cool. The phone thing, I think it was endearing at first, and then it never goes away. I don't know if I like that personally, but I think on my personal list, she's probably last on the list. I think the tsundere is really been elevated for me. I think before the last few episodes, it would have been the tsundere. I think my favorite scene from this show is, so the scientist girl gets like a love potion that makes anyone who drinks it like madly in love with it makes them not madly in love, because they're already madly in love. It makes you pursue sexually the person you love the most, right? So they basically turn into like love zombies. And there's this moment where Rentaro and the small scientist girl, they have to run away. And they're getting chased by Hakari and the tsundere. He gets trapped by them, but he manages to get them to like kiss each other, realizing that like that they that their relationship, their love has like spread between like the three of them, not just like them to him, but like to also to each other. And this is like supposed to be like a do or die situation, but he has like a solid like minute of just staring at them kiss, and he's like, I should go soon, right? And then he stays there for a little bit more. He's like, yeah, I'll go now. That was pretty good. Kade, you got a notable part of the show?
How about when the mom buys the ending and makes her own?
Yeah, that was pretty good. That is pretty good. Yeah, that was a nice little twist. I do like that. All right, 100 Girlfriends. I think Kade said it's an A. I said it's a B. So let's keep it at the front of B for now.
All right. I'm like almost done with this, actually.
Perfect. I knew I could count on you, Tanner. All right. Next show. Let's go ahead and let's do Shangri-La Frontier. Who's seen 12 episodes of Shangri-La Frontier?
No.
I saw like 7 or 8 and then kind of slowly lost interest.
The show's not bad by any stretch. It's not like, I think I have a positive opinion of the show, but I'm going to say something that's going to sound a little harsh. I think the intro is the best part of the show. For all 12 episodes, I think the intro is the best showcase of their animation. Plus, it's like also just a fucking great song. And I think the rest of the show crosses the threshold into being good, but never crosses the threshold of giving me like a wow moment. I never had like a hell yes, this is why I'm watching this show.
Blacksmith song.
What was that?
The blacksmith song.
The blacksmith song was cool, but I don't think it like, it wasn't a showcase of animation. You know what I mean? It's a cool moment for sure, but and the fact that they got like a custom song with the with the Yakuza rabbit is fucking awesome, and it's actually like genuinely a good song. But in terms of like wow, like I didn't go wow, you know, I was like yeah, this is nice. But I don't know if there wasn't ever really a fight for me that like stood out or any sort of moments that I could really like think back on fondly. So yes, that's why I think the intro might be the best part of the show for me. Angel, you said you didn't watch it to its completion. What kind of made you fall off it?
It was rough watching. It never really kept my interest as a weekly watcher. Mm-hmm. I think it's the best way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really recall like any notable cliffhangers. I stopped watching right as he got into the town after the big fight, basically. If you know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think I know the three-way fight, right between like the animal enthusiast.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah.
Like the assassin girl or whatever.
Cade, what is your opinion on Shangri-La?
It was good.
All right.
B tier.
B tier?
What did you say? B tier?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's a B, but it's a low B.
I would argue for C.
Really?
It's a low B.
I don't think it deserves a B.
Okay, so here's what, I was a little harsh on it. Here are the things that I like. I like that it's low stakes. It's not like he's trying to save the world or anything. He's just a gamer trying to go through this god tier game. I like that. It doesn't. Not everything needs to be SAO. And I think the show does a good job of like never making you feel like there's any sort of like real danger. You know, it's all, he's kind of learning about the game at the same time that we are, and we're learning about these like mechanics and stuff. I think that's really interesting. I do think the action dialogue is a little like cartoony, or it's kind of like, you know, when you're playing with action figures and you're like narrating what's going on, you know, when you were like five, just pew pew pew, oh, I get you, blah blah. It's kind of action figure-y to me. It's a lot of like calling out your moves and stuff, which is fine. Like anime do that. There's something about this show I think doesn't like stick in my head very well. I don't know. But yeah, I think there's enough positives to call it a B tier, B minus, personally. Yeah.
What's the final vote on this?
Oh, it's a B. It's a B.
B. All right. Would you put it below 100 girlfriends?
I would definitely put it below 100.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I would put it below 100 girlfriends.
You already said C, so. All right. Let's do a show that I'm sure that I'm the only one who's watched it, is Our Dating Story.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So Just out the get-go, all right? Whoever wrote this show, I have the impression that they went through this kind of relationship before. So the relationship in our dating story is that there is a Gyaru who is very experienced in relationships. She's had multiple sexual relationships with boys her age, hoping to find her like first love, and they all break up with her because she's like too clingy. And he meets this girl who is very inexperienced, has never had a girlfriend, and they through one way or another establish a relationship, and they kind of go through it together. And I get the impression that the author of this show, whether it's like an original show or manga, really has experience with this kind of relationship, because I also have experience with this kind of relationship. And let me tell you, there is a level of anxiety that they get, like they nail down perfectly, of like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, and she does. So how do I like take the lead as, you know, as the guy in the relationship? It's like he really struggles with his inexperience. And I remember being a little freshman dating an older girl in high school and having a lot of the same anxieties that he had. So I think the show needs to be commended for that. That being said, if it is a manga, I think it needs to be enjoyed in that format. I don't think it is a great anime. I think its lack of production budget is apparent. I don't think there's any moment where like the music becomes like powerful and charged, or any moments that like really tear at your heartstrings. And as someone who I think I resonate with the show because of my personal experiences, so I want to like don't want to put too much bias into it. But I think it's a decent watch. I put it in C. That's a C tier show for me. Our Dating Story. Yeah, that little gear. Move her into the C. Yeah. Would I recommend it to Tanner? No, Tanner, I don't think I would. I think there are other shows that require your attention.
Okay.
Okay. Like 100 Girlfriends. Like
I've already found the romance anime to pique my interest in their next season. So you'll hear all about it.
So we'll hear about it 2 weeks from now. Okay. I like it. You're going to be the expert on said show.
Sneak peek, you know?
But yeah. That about does it for our dating story. Long story short, read the manga. I think that's a pretty decent recommend. All right, let's go into Undead Unluck. Undead. Tana, did you watch any more of this show?
I actually did not, but I would not be against continuing it by any means.
Okay. Cool. Well, if you maybe don't want Undead Unluck story spoilers, you know. Or unless you don't really care.
I don't think, you know, I'll stay for this one. There are other ones that I'll probably leave for, though.
Okay. Angel, did you watch Undead Unluck?
I watched a good amount of it.
Do you think 12 episodes worth? Or
once they not 12 episodes.
Oh, once they joined the crew. That's only five episodes in.
Yeah. A little past that.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But surprisingly, I don't know why I didn't finish it. I enjoyed that one a lot.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's really interesting. How far did you get into Undead and Luckade?
I want to say halfway. Pretty much exactly halfway.
Okay. Dang, somebody didn't do their homework.
Yeah. So I won't get into too much detail about the later arcs. I think if I were to put this show, if I were to give it an award of some kind, like a, you know, like when you're in a elementary school, or even I think they might have done this at my high school. Like you go into your class and they're like, all right, let's create like fake awards for people. Oh, this is the person most likely to catch a touchdown in a football game or something. Or this is the person who's most likely to succeed as an artist. Like little fake awards like that. I would say this is one of the freshest. I don't want to say best, but it's like the show that is a fresh of breath air. I really, really enjoyed a fresh of
breath air.
Yeah, that's what I would call this show.
A breath of fresh air.
yeah. That's the award for it. no, it never loses momentum. It's just full action and world building all the way. And there's a few scenes that I would have loved to talk about, but I'm afraid of spoiling the boys.
It's okay for me.
I think one of the most interesting aspects of the show, and I can't remember if they established it in the first three episodes, but Angel, you might have heard it. They have to basically follow quests given to them by the book, right? And I think they call it the apocalypse. If I'm not wrong, is that what they call it? I forget what they call the book, but it's a book of unknown origin that gives the Union quests, and there are rewards for completing quests. For example, one of the rewards that they get is the acquisition of a 13th seat at the table. And I'm trying to remember something. Oh, and like the location of other. Oh, fuck, what do they call them? It's been a while since I finished the show. So I'm like the rule. There's a name for it. The rule people.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I just don't remember.
I am really struggling with this.
Apparently,
this name. Give me a sec. Negator. Right, because they all negate rules, right? So rewards like that. But on the contrary, if they fail a quest, they get punished. And they fail a quest, they didn't even try to get it. They were like, this is probably not going to be good for us, so we're just going to not even try. So they fail the quest, and the punishment before they get it, it's just called Galaxy, right? And so once they officially failed the quest, the book basically vomits out all of the stars and planets that make up our galaxy. And it basically establishes that before that event, it was just Earth in the solar system, and maybe the sun. I'm not too sure. But it's probably just the Earth and the sun. And now they establish that, like, there's a brand new fucking galaxy with, like, potential invaders, too. There's, like, aliens that invade the Earth. And it's just a wonderful way to, like, build the world to me. That's so creative and interesting. I think there is something to be said about, like, toying with the idea of, like, what we know as history and what, like, the world. The history of the world inside the anime are like two different things, and they establish that right away. So there's like a layer of like, oh, you have to think about, oh, this is common knowledge to me, but it's not common knowledge to them anymore, you know. Before that punishment, there were no stars in the sky. It's just Earth. I found that super cool and super unique. I don't think I've seen a show kind of play with that idea before. So And other than the world building, the action sequences are really fun and enjoyable. I don't think the show has become stale in any way. I think there's the arcs that come forward are super fun. So for me, this is an A-tier show.
Right?
Yes, it's a two-core, so it's still going, and I do plan on finishing it all the way through.
I plan on finishing as well.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. So maybe we can have like a little retrospective once you do. Ooh. But this is an absolute A tier for me, and depending on the second core, it could be S tier. I think what's keeping it from being S tier right now is there are definitely fights that are fucking awesome and some badass moments, unlike like Shangri-La Frontier, but I don't know if there was that like wow, like jaw drop, you know. I gotta pause the the stream for a little bit to recover, you know, or have to like go back and rewind a whole bunch to rewatch like a dope action set piece. I don't think there's any of those kind of moments. It's very I would say Zom 100-ish in that respect. So A tier. That's a solid A tier for me. Super recommend. Anyone even remotely interested in an action show, I think, needs to watch this show. I think it's super fun. And yeah, that about does it for Undead Unluck. Anybody else have anything they want to add?
I liked the three episodes that I watched.
Hell yeah, Tanner. Hell yeah. It only gets better, Tanner. Okay. Let's go ahead and jump to what's a good little show? Let's do In Love with the Villainess, and I believe this is another one I think I've only watched, right?
Probably.
I'll take that as
I'll have
yes.
You know that Frieren is the only other
one. Okay, thank you, Tanner.
I didn't watch all of it. Like, I'm not caught up, but
did you catch up to the first core or
not even to the first core, but I watched more than the three episodes.
Okay. All right, so I won't spend too much time with the Villainess. It's not a bad show. It doesn't ever travel into like the bad tier. I really wish it just had like a little bit more budget. It really would have pushed it into C tier for me. I think the interplay between the main girl and the Villainess, quote unquote, is very fun and very playful. That relationship definitely develops over time. If you're looking for a show that isn't too serious, doesn't have like that much drama, this is your show. But I'm a drama fiend, so I'm gonna put it in D tier for a dramaless. D tier. Look at that little D tier action.
that's a rating.
Yeah, it look, so I really think it has potential, but it never goes into the realm of good, I don't think. And I just wish they honed in way more on the relationship between the two girls. Obviously, there's a lot of development over the course of 12 episodes, but I feel like a huge focus of this show was on world building. And I don't think it needed as much world building. I think it needed more drama, a little more like focus on the relationship. So D tier. That's a D tier show for Keva.
Flavorless show.
Flavorless. Yes. That's a good description, actually. Okay. Let's go ahead and jump into Apothecary Diaries. As I like to call it, the darling of the season.
The darling in the Franks.
Yep. That's the fake award for this show. Angel, I you've seen the first core, correct?
Yes. I'm fully caught up on this one.
Sweet. So what are your thoughts and opinions on Apothecary?
It's great.
It is great.
Well, during the midseason, I said it was probably my favorite show of the season.
I do remember you saying so, yes.
That's still stance aside from Juju?
Oh, second only to Juju. What about the show gives it, you know, that high of a regard for you? Like, is it the characters? Is it like the plot? A little bit of everything?
I think it's just how good the characters mesh together. Because it's definitely not like, you know, an action show by any means.
No. I would say zero action, basically, right?
Yeah. But they get you with the a little bit of suspense here and there, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoy how subtly colorful the art style is.
Ooh, that too.
It's not like Zom 100 jumping at you with bright colors or anything like that, but for a show that deals a lot with like the interplay between peasantry and royalty, I think they do a really good job of never really letting what you're looking at become boring to look at. You know what I mean? Obviously royalty's all like puffed up with like beautiful clothes and jewelry and whatnot. But I think every character gets like a few moments to shine, which I think is huge. And Mau Mau is a total bae. She's a total bae. And I don't mean that in like a waifu kind of sense. I mean that in like strictly like I would down to have a drink with this girl. She looks like tons of fun to be around. And I think that's very apparent by how like obsessed the eunuch is throughout the course of the show.
Jinshi,
yeah. Angel, did you have a favorite it's hard to call it an arc. Do you have a favorite story, like a favorite little thing that you remember from the show?
It would have to be the one that got me to watch it. And it would be I was browsing Reddit. Maybe like three episodes had dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Yeah. So I was watching a clip pulled up. So I'm like, okay, let's see what's going on here. And it's just them talking about makeup, I believe, is what it was, right?
Yes, powdered makeup.
Yeah. And how it was banned. And then next
banned
thing
for
I know,
a reason.
After being called out by Mau Mau, the attendant who brought the makeup that was banned got slapped.
Mm-hmm.
And that was enough.
Gave her the people's wrist, just... that's really good, actually. Yeah, I think that's definitely one of the highlights of the show. That moment,
like, what, episode 3, I believe.
I want to say it was episode 3.
Yeah. So it took me about 3 weeks for me to like hear about it, and then after that, I was just binged from there.
And it was such a powerful moment, and really establishes like what kind of character Mau Mau is, and how passionate she is about like medicine and the safety of others and all that. All that gets established wonderfully in the first 3 episodes and only becomes more apparent as the show goes on. Kay, do you have a favorite moment from Apothecary?
The first time she blushes with the eunuch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall that scene.
What's the context of that?
He's like, oh, no. He, like, reaches out to touch her, and she's like, you can't touch me. You're not allowed to. And then he's like, oh, just one finger. She's like, oh, fine. And touches her lip and then kisses it. Oh. And then she, like, starts blushing. Oh, so good. So good.
Is that when...
that's a more recent episode.
Yes. I was about to say, that's when she rejoins her prostitute troop, right? And they get invited to the castle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. That is really good. Cade, what is your rating on the show as a whole? And it's not done, just so the audience is aware. There is a second core out airing right now, I think, right? Or is it taking a break?
Oh, no. It's airing.
It's airing. Okay.
Fuck. I want to put it in S tier. I just don't know if it's worth it. Like, I don't know if it deserves it, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to be called out for overhyping a show, ever. But
I think that is very, very true.
Oh, man,
how about this? What genre would you put it in?
Ooh.
The awesome genre.
Drama.
A drama? All
I'd
right.
say drama.
What
drama, drama slice there? Of life.
Drama category.
I mean, for me, I would put Domestic Girlfriend in there.
All right, your opinion is no longer valid.
So, okay.
How about this? How about this? I'm not a big drama person. I'm not, you know, really into like Fruits Basket or, you know, Domestic Girlfriend. Not really that kind of thing for me. And Slice of Life isn't really my thing either. I've got a couple that I like. So considering that, I want to put it in my S tier, because I, even though, you know, those aren't really my thing, you know, I still love those. Or I still love Apothecary Diary. So honestly, I'd say, yeah.
What do you say, Angel?
I would agree.
So here's my thinking right now. And I think this is pretty sound logic. I cannot even fathom a world where the second core ruins the show, or even like takes it down even a grade, right? So I don't think it's gonna pull off a 2 year eternity or a Tacto P where it like drops the ball. You know, I think this is going to continue to be an excellent show. So with two S tiers over there, and I think I just convinced myself of putting it in S tier. I think Apothecary Diaries is an official S tier of fall 2023. That wrong grade, Tanner. Awesome show.
What the heck?
Put it in F.
There we go.
Yeah. I think surprise show of the season, even. I don't think I expected it to be this good. Would you guys want to see more shows in like a Chinese setting? Is that something you guys would be interested in? Has this sparked an interest for you guys?
I think there's plenty. It's just that they're never done well, or the anime itself isn't good. So, you know, like if you are interested in you know, that Chinese period history kind of, there's plenty of stuff, but you know, again,
whether or not it's good is a different question.
Yeah, I'd like more good ones. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's another reason to oh.
Okay.
He just left. That's another reason to put it in S tier, actually, because of how good of a period piece it is. So yeah, I think that has moved from like a tentative S tier to a definitive S tier. I think that is officially, that's how I categorize it in my mind now. Where did you go?
Stepped away for a second, all right?
Why? Okay. Are you playing Power World and you need to ask Wally and Pew for something?
No. My computer
no.
was hosting Power World, and I was doing too much on my computer and it kind of crashed everything.
So you had to go into the other server to tell, hey, like, I'm rebooting it. I'm rebooting.
Yeah, I was letting them know. Hold up. Don't get mad at me. I was trying to use Google, boys. Calm down.
Yeah, you know what? Google will do it. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to Ron Kamonohashi. Angel Cade, have you guys watched the show at all?
I have not watched that one.
Sorry, you guys were talking over each other. Angel, no. Cade?
I watched half.
Watched about half, okay. So I won't get too nitty-gritty into the details towards the end, but the show, I think, has a very... How should I say it? It has a line graph that goes kind of straight, almost a plateau, but it is like moving up, as in it's like getting better over time, but not like leaps and bounds better. I think it's the tone it establishes in the first three episodes is the tone that it carries with it throughout most of the show. That being said, and this is a huge spoiler, if you don't want spoilers for Ranko Munahashi, this show became a Sherlock Holmes anime, and I did not see that coming at all. In the history of this show, Sherlock and Moriarty are real people, and Ranko Munahashi, our titular detective, is from the bloodline of both. So he has the Sherlock and Moriarty blood in him. And it turns out that the Moriarty philosophy lives on through his ancestors, and they have established like a sort of secret society of sorts that is controlling the world from the shadows. And it also turns out that their biggest nemesis are people who are descendants of Sherlock, which is an interesting point because it implies that Sherlock was able to have children, which I don't think was ever established in the original stories, if I'm not mistaken. I think he was always seen as like a person who's very rude to women, especially. So it's kind of impressive.
Is that two back-to-backs that have that kind of premise?
Yeah, except this story happens like 100 years after the events of Sherlock and Moriarty, or more. And I think you're thinking of Undead Murder Farce,
yes,
which is a show that is taking place during the period where Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty come from. I think it's more surprising in this show just because it comes out of fucking nowhere. But that being said, all of the murder mysteries, I think, are really well done. There's a couple of weak ones in there. The one that happens in the mall with the phone is just, it's whatever. I think that's probably the weakest one. But then there's a telescope observatory murder mystery that's like a locked door mystery that's super good and is really tense. And is actually the arc that gives us the backstory of like the Moriarty and Sherlock bloodline. So super interesting. This is a surefire B tier for me. It's not a heavy recommend. I wouldn't, in terms of like a murder mystery show, it's not like Undead Murder Farce. I think I remember Mushishi a little bit more fondly. Psychopass was really good. But this isn't bad. It's weird to call it fun, but it is fun. It's a fun murder show. So I would give it, yeah, a solid B. I'll put it in front of what shows we got in B tier, Tanner? I already forgot.
Tanner's gone.
Oh, Tanner's muted. I didn't see that. Oh, Shangri-La.
Oh, no, I'm here and I forgot I was muted. No. Shangri-La and 100 Girlfriends.
I would have it personally. Oh man. I think I enjoyed it a smidge less than 100 Girlfriends. So in front of Shangri-La, behind 100 Girlfriends.
All right.
And for people who will check out the Twitter later, please note that from left to right, the order does matter. Left being the better part of the tier.
Indeed.
And then up down is pretty obvious. So Ranko Munahashi, solid B tier, would recommend to the boys. Tanner, I feel like this is your kind of vibe too. I think you would really vibe with the show.
You were saying that just after the first three episodes as well, if I remember correctly.
And I think it has a sort of I don't know. It has a charm to it. I think you would especially really vibe with. All right. Just a couple more shows to go. Let's do a Ragna Crimson, boys. Boys. Who's seen Ragna Crimson?
No.
Ancient, no. Tanner, I know, hasn't.
Have you watched it?
Kande?
Nope.
Nope. So, wow, Kevin, you're a solo show for this one.
This is, yay. Hey, it happens. It happens. Ragna Crimson. Okay. Those first three episodes, I wasn't that high on. I think it was a little weak in its premise, those three episodes. I think the world building was super confusing as well. All of that gets kind of polished along the way. And there's a moment where there's an entire arc where he basically fights the final boss way too early. And that's like a really fun and exciting arc to watch. I think the animation levels really stepped up. I think the intensity of the show really was put into high gear. And all of a sudden, I kind of do a full 180 on Ragna, where I was like on the negative side those first three episodes, and now I'm like way on the positive side after the next 9 episodes. I do think its biggest flaw is that in the last 4 episodes of the core, they're basically setting up this fight, but it takes like 4 episodes. And yes, there's a lot of interesting world building, and they meet this new group, and they're like, there's a lot of interesting interplay with the new characters. But that's a long time to fucking set something up, you know? And there's not a lot of action in that time either. So it's very hard for me to say that the show ended on like a high mark, but I think it's I would positively rate this show. And I think it's funny because I had these shows backwards, but now I favor one clearly over the other. I like this show more than Shangri-La Frontier. I think it's just in terms of pure action, I don't even think it's particularly close. I think Ragna's action sequences have more interesting set pieces than the Shangri-La's does. So yeah, Ragna Crimson's a solid beat tier. And let me tell you, I am still confused as to my attraction to Crimson, because Crimson is established to be a man, but god damn it, it's a very pretty man.
That's never stopped anybody before, right?
It's true. I mean, she switches, you know, her body all the time. Like, she can play both, or he can play both, sorry. But they do primarily... Yeah, I know. I'm trying to, like, will it into existence, you know? Yeah. They do primarily identify her as him as a man. God damn it! And so, yeah, it's funny. It's funny. I want to know if anyone else has the struggles that I do with the show. But Ragna Crimson, surprisingly highly rated for me. And by highly rated, I mean B tier. It is solid. It is above solid, I'd even say. Yeah. Any other thoughts, Cade?
Very interested that you rated it higher than Shangri-La.
I think if you compare the action, I think it's a very clear winner.
Cool.
Just in terms of action. Now, I think Shangri-La probably has a better, slightly better characters, I'd say.
Did the time period issue really?
They play with
established.
They do, and it is interesting. There is a reason why they're like in medieval garb and using swords. But AKs exist. Like, there, that has been not necessarily established explicitly, but implied very heavily, like what went on. Let's just say this show and Mad Max might have more in common than I initially thought. So, yeah. I think that about does it for Ragna Crimson. And let's get to the... Let's call it the heavyweight favorite, the title favorite.
This is one that I will sit out because I do intend on finishing this and I don't want to.
Now, how far did you get, Tanner?
Like what episode? Like 8 or something like that?
Well, so you haven't gone to the
point. Okay. What's the last thing that happened?
Oh, God. It's been a long time because I've like watched it there like right after the 3 episodes.
Do you remember if you encountered the demon yet? And if that doesn't ring a bell, then we'll have you sit out.
I was gonna say I don't think so. So I will sit it out.
Tanner, but I will call you back in.
I will leave you with I greatly enjoy this show.
Tanner, I'll move you back in once we're done.
You know, that's right. I gave you the thanks, Angel.
Dang. There he goes. Into his office. I think Kate established that he's watched up until right before the last episode, right?
It.
For Freerun?
Yeah.
No. Episode 5, I think, is where I left it off.
Okay, cool. So, I guess it's mostly me and Angel then. Kate, do you care about spoilers or?
Not really. Okay, if anything, cool. Spoilers might make it actually more interesting to me.
Sure. Angel, how okay, so I guess what is your like surface level opinion of the show so far?
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Wow, straight out the gate. What about, because I know you're a source reader, right? You've been show up for a while. What about this show? Do you think, first of all, as an adaptation, do you think it has been adapted well from the source?
10 out of 10.
Okay. Is that going to be your answer for everything?
I mean, that's an honest answer.
Hey, when it works, it works. So what do you think the anime does well, in your opinion, when comparing it to the source material?
It adapts the emotions of the panels in a good manner.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You can really feel, I think Freyrin especially, the evolution of her headspace. I really appreciate that. What's your favorite, do you have a favorite sequence?
The ring episode.
Episode.
Where Himmel gives it to her.
Now, what about that scene in particular? Like, does it set up something in your head, or?
I wouldn't say it set up something in my head. It's more of the way it was, written in the manga and adapted in the anime. I thought it was just top tier.
Now, I know in the first few episodes we kind of talked about like how emotional the show was. Do you feel like past that point, do you think what is the heaviest like emotional moment for you in the 12 episodes, or technically like 15 most emotional episodes? Moment? Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely that.
Past the Himmel's death and Hyder's death.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying it's the ring. It's the ring.
Yeah, it's the ring moment.
Fair. So it is a Studio Madhouse anime. I believe it's one of their like only anime in a while. Because they've mostly been doing movies. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they did One Punch Man season 1, right?
Wait, I didn't hear your what was your emotional moment?
Oh, my emotional moment. I think past Himmel's death, I'm trying to think. I really would have to say, I think the moment where, oh boy, I'm really trying to scratch. I'm trying to come up with a different answer than the ring, and it might honestly just be the ring.
It was voted the most liked chapter, by the way.
Oh, fair. Yeah, it's hard to say.
Second was Himmel's Death.
Oh well, yeah. Himmel's Death was fucking hard. Yeah, I'm just gonna have to cop out and give the same answer you did.
Man, what a cop out.
But and it's not an emotional moment, but my favorite like sequence in the show is like that the whole thing with the demons in the city is it's so well done.
Oh yeah.
The world building with the demons, I think, is probably my favorite part, where they establish that demons are animals that have happened to learn human tongue. And it's such an interesting way to go about, because it does. I love it because it takes something that seems morally gray, and then it completely kind of kills it. You know what I mean? It's like demons are inherently evil and they're meant to be eradicated and all that. But they keep like bringing up, oh, they look like us and they talk like us, but it's all just an act to get your trust in order to lure you in and kill you. And I think that's like a really interesting part of the world here. And that action fight, both between Frerin and the you know, demon lord lady, and between Fern and the other demons that are in town. Both of those sequences are super well done. I mean, Madhouse really shows why they were a premier studio for such a long time. I think they really flex their muscles with that fight. Is there anything else you want to bring up with the show, Frerin?
Oh, Madhouse, I feel, has done a good job of displaying the crossing of time.
Yeah, it does a good job of like making sure you're not lost. Like I never found myself asking like, when was this? Where was this?
In the flashbacks with the master, it has like a Greekish setting, mm-hmm. if you noticed. And then, you know, the modern times is more like medieval.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I actually did not take note of that.
Oh, I see. Well, if you ever go back and, you know, see or mm-hmm. watch mm-hmm. those scenes with Flam the Mage and Karen, then you would notice it, I think, after mm-hmm. I said something.
Yeah, that's a really interesting note. That's like that subtle world building that I love.
Yeah, just like subtle world building, you know, not thrown out your face at all, but if you picked it up, you picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
What else is I can't think of anything at the moment.
So in terms of rating, where would you put the show? Like, let's establish a tier first.
In terms of rating, where would I put this show? S-tier.
S-tier. I think it is deserving of S-tier. I actually had to like restrain myself from keeping up with it because I didn't want to like confuse myself while talking about the last episodes if you know I was able to. But yeah, easy S tier. Now here's the big question. Does Frerin go in front of or behind Apothecary Diaries in that tier?
I would put it in front.
Ooh. You would put Frerin in front of Apothecary.
Yes.
See, oh man. Okay, there's a part of me, I think I'm leaning more towards Apothecary, and it's kind of tough because I think they're both super excellent shows, but I do feel S-tier
is S-tier, all right?
S-tier is S-tier, yeah. There's no reason for either of these shows to be marked less than S tier, in my opinion. But I think Apothecary Diaries has just stuck in my head a little bit more. I think I enjoy Mau Mau a little more than I do the character Frayrin and her interplay with the eunuch. I enjoyed that relationship more. So, man, I think I'm leaning towards Apothecary being in front of Frayrin. And I don't know if that's a hot take. I'm not sure.
I wouldn't say it is.
Okay. Again, both excellent shows. I think it's I wish we had a tiebreaker.
just like fantasy, so
That's fair. That is fair. Yeah.
So I guess I have a bias. If you wanted my reasoning for it.
And do you know what? I am less, generally speaking, I am less inclined to enjoy like fantasy worlds. Like I'm not a big Harry Potter guy or like, you know, Skyrim, Game of Thrones I didn't finish, you know, that kind of stuff. That kind of setting. Not really my jam. So I might have a bias going the opposite way. I would say, let's go ahead and give Frayrin the benefit of the doubt because it has such an established fan base, and put it in front of Apothecary. Ooh. But I think it would be fun when both cores finished if we had a full discussion. And maybe even like revise our pick later.
If y'all have a full discussion between the two shows, I will watch the entirety of both shows.
Oh, you know what? They do finish at the same time, Tanner.
Finish at the same time. All right, let's put a pin in it then and revisit this. For now, Frayrin in front. Okay, let's see how both of them finish off. Angel. I know you're a source reader, and without giving any sort of spoilers, do you think that they're going to finish Frayrin in the second core, or you think it's going to keep running?
I mean, they're definitely not going to. It's an ongoing manga, for starters.
Oh, it's still ongoing. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
But it's going to finish. It's going to catch up to the manga pretty close, I would say. If it adapts the arc, I think it will be adapted.
Okay. Interesting. And Apothecary, I believe, is an original anime.
No, it's a manga.
It is a manga. Okay. But okay. All right. We don't know anything about the source. One. Yeah. No, it's gonna be fun to compare these later, I think. But for now, let's go over that tier list. Tanner, if you could restream that bitch.
It is. Oh, right. I forgot
that. Right, because you left.
Switching unstreamed it. There we go.
There we are. All right. So from D tier upwards, because there were no F tier shows, we have I'm in love with the villainess at D tier. Our dating story, the inexperienced you and the the inexperienced me and the experienced you at C tier. And then from right to left, we have. In B tier, Shangri-La Frontier, Ragnar Crimson, Ron Kumanahashi's Forbidden Deductions, and the 100 Girlfriends Who Really, 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 Really Love You. In A tier, all by themselves, Undead Unluck, with the fake award of fresh... What did I say? Of freshness?
I don't remember.
A breath of fresh air.
Yeah, that's what it was. You're right.
Apothecary Diaries and Frayrin in S tier back to back, with Frayrin being the quote unquote show of the season for us.
That is consensus
show of the season. Give it up for these shows, boys. Woo! Yeah, we did it. Woo! Boys, it's another successful season, another successful time. Oh. Next week, you boys know what we're doing?
Beginning of season.
Incorrect.
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 No idea.
Well, we completed our first year as a podcast together.
Wow.
A full year. That means we got to do an awards. The Any Anime Podcast Awards. So we will be doing, I'm going to create categories first by genre, then by like, I'm going to create like little mini categories, and then we're going to have like an official cumulative of 2023 best anime. And it should be some fun discussions, should be some interesting points being thrown around, or potentially maybe we all have the same anime in mind. I'm not sure, who knows? You can never tell with these things. Sometimes people are surprised at the Oscars, like Ken winning best music, best song. You know, like I'm just Ken. Ryan Gosling was there's like a picture, or not a picture, a video of him. So the award gets announced, best song, I'm Just Ken. And then it pans to Ryan Gosling's face and he's just looking there like, really? That one? Why? He doesn't even go up to like accept the award. He's just like confused clapping. Which I think honestly for me is worse than just celebrating. You know what I mean? It's like yeah, a fake humble sort of thing. I mean, he could genuinely be confused, but reacting in that way is almost sort of like, I won this award without even trying? What? Are you kidding me? And also like kind of ignoring the fact that like, it's not just, it's his voice obviously, but like there's more to the song than just him. It's the composition, it's you know, the person, the music producer and all that. Like there's a lot of work that goes behind the mixing. And so for me personally, didn't love that reaction from Ryan Gosling. That's unrelated to anime completely. Our anime awards show will not be Ryan Gosling. All right. We will celebrate these shows with our hearts. And yeah, it's going to be super fun. And then the week after, it'll be week three of the 2024 season, which means we got to do a season preview. Look at next year's show. Or sorry. Yeah. No, the next year's show. Sorry, next season show. God damn it. I'm so bad, Kevin. I'm so bad.
It's clearly tired or something.
I am ready for bed, I will admit. I am looking forward to bed. Better said. But yeah, Tanner. Quick question.
Yes.
Have you been watching anything? You do a little casual talk now.
I don't think there was anything more than the last time. Not that I can remember, at least.
Okay.
Because last time I said, like,
I think you said you were watching like a bunch of current shows.
Yeah, well, I've been watching. Let me pull up my Crunchyroll and double check. I don't think I started anything new. Because yeah, I've been watching. Oh boy, I've been watching A Sign of Affection, which I love. So good. And we, what else? I hate when you catch up and they remove it from your watching.
Yeah, that is the worst.
Because there's not.
There's a history button that will just show you like the individual episodes that you watched.
Thank you. Oh. Hokkaido gals are super adorable.
Now, is that the season two?
The next season,
the next season. I mean, yeah. Okay,
yes, it is.
That's funny.
Also, a preview, surprisingly good.
Ooh, okay.
Like for what it is.
I will
put an asterisk of for what it is.
Is it next season's 100 Girlfriends? You think?
I can watch this show, Kevin. There's a difference. I went into it fully expecting, based on the title and everything, it to be trashy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only like 50% trashy.
But you didn't Oh, I see. It's better because it's not as trashy as the title implies.
Yes.
As opposed to 100 girlfriends, which is almost worse than the title implies.
Almost, in some ways.
But and I'll be honest.
Jujutsu, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. We had that whole episode last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Ben, I think that's pretty much been it. Oh, right. I've been watching Chained Soldier.
Right, right
on
right,
High Dive. And that's one that
we'll get into that discussion when the time comes, Tanner. Don't worry.
Yes. Oh yes. I for a little content, I've read the manga of that.
We got a sourcey over here.
Sorry. The manga was better. No, but yeah, I'm sure we'll have a whole discussion.
Angel, you've been watching anything?
Let's see. What have I been watching? Recent? Mm-hmm. Classroom of the Elite.
Oh, I need to start that. Season 3, yep.
Dungeon and Mesh is what it's called, right?
Dungeon Mesh.
Delicious and Dungeon. AKA sorry, I was thinking of like
the Japanese name.
Dungeon Meshi.
Yeah, me and Claudia watched with great anticipation last week when episode 2 came out. We were like very about it. I think episode 3 is out already, right? We need to catch up.
I'm excited for that as well. I will be watching it.
Okay.
I don't know what else. Mashal.
You finished those Code Geass movies or
no? Halfway through the second one.
Okay. Very nice. Cade, you've been picking anything up?
No, I've been. Nope.
All right. I finished the season of Evangelion.
Ooh, look at you, big boy.
I like binged roughly 14 or so episodes in the span of a couple of days.
All right, okay. What's your season one opinion?
So I think it is. It's funny. I think the show is excellent. It is very, very good. I think the it's very interesting because I've always heard this discussion of like Evangelion is a show that did well despite its budget as opposed to because of it, right? And the obvious examples are like elevator scenes and things like that where there's just like immense quiet or something. There's definitely like moments of like reused animation to save time, things like that. But it is a little more excusable when you know that the show was drawn entirely by hand, and the fact that it still looks that good and tells like a really gripping narrative is great. Evangelion is a show that definitely earned its place in the annals of history, and that's without me having watched the movies. I do plan on watching those. I believe I have like five movies to watch, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm actually looking really forward into that. I think the biggest downside of the show is Shinji at times a little unbearable. And he definitely has some growth. He definitely has like a lot of change. He's the guy who ends up with the most amount of change throughout the course of the show. But he is at times a little insufferable. I did watch a mix of the dub and the sub. The dub's not terrible, but it's definitely a little stiff with a lot of the voice acting. Is a sub ever bad? I mean, genuinely? Have you guys ever heard a bad sub? Maybe you've heard a sub where like, okay, this character's voice doesn't necessarily like match, but you wouldn't say it's like bad, right? There's definitely a few moments in the dub where I'm like, man, that line was delivered poorly. But Evangelion, solid show. For anyone who was a little trepidatious about keeping it in their backlog, I think you should watch it. You should watch it. That show, Cowboy Bebop, you know, Code Geass, they're classics for a reason. I think it's really earned its spot. So that's it on Evangelion. I will update it again when I watch all the movies, but that will probably be a while from now. I plan on watching Demon Slayer season 3 before I watch the movies. So that's the plan. Bounce around a little bit between backlog and way backlog and like more recent backlog. So looking forward to it, boys. Looking forward to this year, quite frankly.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. All right, boys, let's end this episode off with a bang. Tanner, you were very ready to do the outro last time. So go ahead. Give us that email. Give us that Twitter handle. And then hit us with your best howl.
If you'd like to reach us on social media, your favorite social media, you can find us only on Twitter at Any Anime Pod. So we hope that is your social media of choice. If you don't use Twitter, you can find us on Gmail. Yes, that small time social media that no one ever uses anymore. Any Anime Podcast at gmail.com. Send us an email. Talk to us. Questions, concerns, comments. Give us ideas. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you got another anime that you want me to add to my backlog, you know, I already have Fate, you know, Code Geass, Steins Gate, that's already in there. If you got another classic one that, you know, some people would say Berserk, original Berserk, is a must watch, you know.
I tried reading it.
it is in that genre that isn't like my favorite, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
So I'm not like super looking forward to it, but hey, you know, if I get an email, maybe I'll add it. I don't know. Explain to me why Berserk is good at anyanimepodcast@gmail.com.
That's right.
Tanner, what, give us your best howl.
Oh, I'm doing the full outro.
Yeah, you're doing the full outro, bro.
Oh, okay. Let me clear the pipes real quick.
Oh.
Sip of water.
Call Amanda to join.
Any, away!
Woo!
We have it a 5 out of 10, Tanner. Could improve.
Could be better. Could be worse.
Not enough emotion, Tanner.
Not enough emotion?
Could be like Angels. His was very good.
Let me get emotional real quick. Get the tears running down the cheeks. Looking up into the sky.
Wait, that was my bit last time.
Oh, is that what you did last time?
yeah. Funny.